Log Talk Radio.
All right, I feel good today. Tell them how you feel, Gerald. Come on, get up. Let's praise. Come on, Holy Ghost. Talking about the Holy Ghost fire.
In our relationship with our great, wonderful, and magnificent God our Father. The great I Am of the Bible is who I'm talking about. And words cannot fully express our great, precious gratitude and overwhelming thanksgiving for the beautiful Son, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah, Savior, and Redeemer, none other than introducing Jesus the Christ. Right here on this fire gospel experience, Jesus the Christ is unashamedly, unapologetically, as well as unequivocally declared to be the only Redeemer. He is the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal gift of life. He's our only hope and light for this lost, dark, and dying world that you and I are living in, and we're living according to the beautiful grace and power of our God. I am your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, and I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual inspirations, as well as some of the most anointed, uplifting gospel music that has ever been made and ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience, will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus the Christ, because God is not a respecter of persons. I don't know what y'all thought, but he ain't sometimes like you and I. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. We will be embracing for your spiritual consideration as well as your sanctified supplement from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament, Ephesians 6 and 15, where the Apostle Paul is clarifying and defining the spiritual struggles and those invisible wars that are taking place in the world of all of us, Christian and non-Christian believers, in our lives. So we are living in two worlds that are physical and spiritual, one seen and the other unseen. We are advised to be aware that as those two worlds merge, people, places, and situations can be garnered and controlled by forces for God and, unfortunately, forces for evil. Beware and choose wisely where, how, and what you are living for. We're going to go deep into this conversation about spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not who you see, it's sometimes who and what you don't see that needs to be focused in on. I'm talking about dark, invisible, demonic influences that are everywhere where God is not. We're going to talk about spiritual wickedness in high places, y'all. This is going to be a phenomenal, blessed show. My special guest is back. You're talking about a phenomenal woman of God. Lord, let me tell you something. She is a social activist on par with everybody you know. I'm talking about she is a spiritual, motivational speaker, spiritual inspirer, and you know her as the first woman African descent mayor of El Dorado, Arkansas. She is back. Woman of God, Veronica Smith Creer is here. And I promise you, we are going to have a dynamic discussion because she got my attention, y'all, when she was on Facebook talking about some of the things that were so disturbing, talking about corruption, talking about wickedness, as polite as she could. But I promise you, she was making her points made, and she's going to continue here because I want her to come back and share with us what are the spiritual implications that are connected with our society, with the laws and the rules that we are asked and pretty much told to what live by, as well as the systems that are in place and that have been in place all around us that are actually working against us. And they are being promoted by evil dark forces. People don't believe in stuff that's not visible, but I tell you what, you can't see the wind, but you can't deny the effects of it. We got hurricanes and tornadoes that are bear proof to that. So listen, why don't you call a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, somebody that Holy Spirit God is putting in your spirit right now. Let them know Brother Ron E. Jefferson is back on the internet radio to give God his just due praise. You better know that first of all. And to encourage you, you and you too. If you're a believer, keep growing closer to our God. If you are someone that's undecided, hear what we have to say. Listen to our words of wisdom, biblical insight, and testimony, and then you choose for yourself. Thank you, Holy Spirit God, for lighting the fuse that's going to set this internet and radio airwaves for the inspired gospel experience. We thank you, and we praise you for lighting the fuse that's going to set the internet and radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire. Sister Freeman, I told you, I said, I got you. She sent me that new music, and it's already done. I thank you. Helen Freeman starting this fire gospel experience off just the way we like it, hot and on fire. My special guest, Lord Jesus, let me tell y'all something about my special guest. Boy, you talk about somebody that's working hard. I mean, just working hard. I'm just wondering, and I'm going to ask, I would imagine if you were this active in the community, if you were this active on social media, you had to be something else in real life as the first African-American woman of El Dorado, Arkansas. Community leader, book author, her story maker, as well as podcast host and more. And I'm going to let her tell y'all about that more part while we get into this discussion and getting to know and welcome my special guest, woman of God. I'm talking about a woman of God that is here to do nothing but encourage you while she's praising God. Veronica Smith Creer is here on this fire gospel experience. My God, woman of God, Veronica Smith Creer, welcome back to Fire Gospel Experience. How are you doing today, woman of God?
I am doing well, and thank you so much for the invitation to return. I have been blessed so far, even with the broadcast and the music and the inspiration. How about that?
Amen. That's what's happening, because that's what it's all about right here, giving God his just due praise, and then just everybody else, just jump in where you can get in and get your praise on. Forget about your sins. Yeah. Forget about your words. It's only for a season. God just wants you to exhibit and grow in some faith while you're going through. See, here's the thing, and I'm going to let you tell people who you are, a little bit of what you're about, and why you are assigned to be here on this platform today. We just need to just learn that it's okay when things are not going smooth sailing. That just means God got his eyes on us while we are going through whatever it is we're going through. He just wants us to grow up. He just wants to take those training wheels of faith off of us so that we can stand on our own two sanctified feet and declare the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how's that? How you
Amen.
Like that?
Amen. I like that. I like it. I like it a lot. How about that?
Amen. Listen, woman of God, please feel free to introduce yourself. I usually normally ask my special guests to just start where their Christian roots started, where the origin of your faith began. Tell us about maybe the experiences of your life, and then we're going to move right to what we are called to talk about today, spiritual wickedness in high places. But I want my listening audience to just appreciate who you are from the very beginning.
Awesome. I am Veronica Smith Creer. I am the former mayor of the city of El Dorado. My Christian origins start way back at 1040 East Elm. That is my childhood home with my parents. First Baptist Church, under the direction and the leadership of the late Dr. Pastor E.A. Porche, is where I got started, baptized. I believe I was in the third grade when I was baptized in the Baptist faith, and just love the Lord, and I am amazed at how he moves and how he works through my childhood and my adulthood. And before I got married, my faith was strengthened in so many different ways, and I saw God's healing power and how he ordained so many things. Even through me becoming the mayor in the city of El Dorado, I saw how he just walks out our footsteps and puts provisions in place. And that is where I came up, or I won't say came up with, but realized what I say from time to time, is that I don't believe in luck. I don't believe in coincidence.
No.
I believe everything is divinely orchestrated by God. It's our choice whether or not we walk in what he's already set forth in our path to do. So just grateful, grateful to have been able to do many of the things that God has allowed me to do in the church, being a secretary, a Sunday school teacher, working with the women's programs and all of that. And God has groomed me in leadership, and I just thank him for that that beginning and for what's to come.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, because I have had the pleasure of knowing you somewhat to a degree where I can say some things like, tell us about them Smith girls, how y'all don't take no stuff. Come on,
well, the Smith girls, yes, and that is absolutely correct. My parents had three girls, Vanessa, I'm Veronica, my baby sister, Demetrius, and she passed away in 2017. But just we're blessed to know that God created us to be amazing women of God and just didn't take it amiss, you know. And that's not saying it arrogantly or even bragging, but God put us here to testify and to witness to who he is. And so we represent him.
Amen.
And we speak with boldness and stand firm on the word of God. And, we used to say them doggone Smith girls.
Uh-oh. I was going to leave that part out.
That's right. But don't let the pretty face fool you.
Amen. I love that. And being the father of five beautiful queens, two of which are in heaven, I had that same spirit of, I want y'all to be lovely on the inside and outside, but I want y'all to have a certain amount of toughness, to whereas if I'm not around or you don't have the help that you need, learn how to be your own backup. Trust in God.
Because
God
That's
is
it.
Always watching over us. You are never, 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 never alone, okay? So I
That's
appreciate
right.
that.
That's
now,
right.
Moving a little further into who you are, I just have to ask you this, because what struck you first? Now, I need to let these listeners know that you are the first person in 10 years in February of broadcasting on the internet radio where I have prepared questions that I sent to you, because I want my special guests to come straight off the cuff. I don't need no forethought. I don't want them trying to figure nothing out. I want them to just dig down deep. I don't want no lead on. I want to hear what's in your spirit on the first go round. That's why I had to stop myself from talking before we went live, because I don't like to rehash my stuff. I like my stuff to come out fresh the first time. Amen. Dropping it like it's hot. Ain't that what they say? So
make it real.
Ladies,
make it real.
Make it real. Make it 100. Lady Veronica, what struck you first? I'm the first woman to be mayor of El Dorado, or I'm the first African person of descent of El Dorado? If you had to pick one, which one kind of struck you first?
I would have to say of African-American descent. You know, I'm a double minority with both of those. And in the city of El Dorado, although in population, we're pretty even, but have not had ever a black woman, an African-American woman, to run. So women had run before, African-American men had run before, but never, I am the first woman and first African-American to serve in that capacity. So if I had to pick one, it would have to be of African-American descent. And really, to be honest with you, I thank God for it, because it proves, it just continues to prove that we can do anything. We can do anything. And I think many times, although as women we've made a lot of strides, and also as African Americans we've made some amazing strides, in the city of El Dorado, I think it needed to be seen. that someone that looked like me, that talked like me, that moved like me could be in that position. Mm-hmm. And so I would have to say, because, you know, we've had a lot of women to do a lot of things there in the city, but never to be mayor. So I would say African-American.
Amen. And I know you probably want to give a shout out to our mayor here in Pine Bluff.
Definitely. Mayor Washington, one of my heroes.
Shirley Washington.
I appreciate her. She has a nurturing spirit. As an educator,
she
is a stickler for that. And I do appreciate, even when I was running for mayor, she always had encouraging words for me and inspired me in so many different ways that she may not even know. So, yes, definitely a shout-out to Mayor Shirley Washington. Mayor Washington. Madam Mayor.
Amen. a phenomenal woman of God, a phenomenal mayor.
She
has moved us forward. In spite of so much naysayers and dissension here, there's always going to be that, and that's going to kind of lead us into our subject where we are talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, before we get into that discussion, Lady Veronica, we always hear about certain conversations that we're not have to have in the workplace, particularly where we're not to discuss politics, religion, and sports. Now, I don't know if you know this, but the term sports fan is a short for fanatics. That's where they get the word fan from, fanatic. So I understand why we don't necessarily have to talk about sports. So for some people, that's almost like family and mama. Are you talking about my favorite team? Lord, don't you say nothing about them Dallas Cowboys. I respect the fact that Dallas Cowboys have such loyal fans, but I would love to see the Dallas Cowboys at least get to the divisional playoffs or something and then do all that bragging. But what is it about not discussing politics and religion in the workplace? Are we just scared, or we just have thin skin when it comes to certain things? It's too sensitive? Is that what it is?
I think it will be all of that. We're in a generation now where debating different things is an argument. We don't have, I want to say, intellectual debates, and so things have become off. You can't do that. You can't discuss that. Now, I'll have to say, as far as, especially when I was the mayor, being the mayor, that is politics. You are talking about politics.
Yeah.
And to a degree, for my particular administration, you're also talking about religion, because I am a woman of faith, and I don't know how to separate the two. But I think a lot of it
is
because, to a degree, people are scared to offend someone. You don't want to offend somebody. You know, you mentioned about your favorite team. You don't want to offend somebody's team, or you don't want to offend somebody's religion, or you don't want to offend somebody's political party or their stance. But we do it all the time anyway. Whether we do it in the workplace or not, it's being done. Social media does it. Even in the news, we're doing it. So I think that is the idea, is to not offend, but at the same time, it's still being done. It's still being done.
Now, I'm old school. I grew up in Detroit. I was born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, but at the age of 6, they took me to Detroit. I stayed there for 40 years. That's prophetic, 40 years. I came back to my birthplace because I used to wonder, who would I be had I stayed here in Pine Bluff? I ain't mad at Pine Bluff, but I'm glad they took me to Detroit because that gave me a big city worldview, if you will. And I learned some things just from that atmosphere. And I don't know. I know you hear about Southern hospitality, and y'all are so friendly. I never even realized that I grew up in a city full of strangers until I got to Pine Bluff, because I worked for the city. So I'd be in my truck or whatever, and then it seemed like everybody I'm working with, or every time people are waving at one another. You don't wave at folks in a big city, man. You have folks follow you to your house and take everything you got because you're so friendly. One thing that I learned is, if you're in grade school, you're going to have some cat fights. And what that means is, if somebody choose to go at you with words, talking about your mama, talking about your clothes, you can't cry. You better come back with your own caps and let them know you ain't the one. So I'm saying I discovered a toughened up skin. See, I understand when you're talking about them dang Smith girls, you got to have a certain amount of sensitivity, but you got to have a certain amount of tough skin to go with that sensitivity. Just in case somebody cross that line, you need to let them know. Oops, there's a line right there, and I'm just letting you know before we go any further. So is it the fact that people are using, I'm going to say, thin skin to push people by offenses to get to maybe overwhelm them or put them in their place? Is that a spiritual tactic that the devil uses to offend people, to get them to be quiet, to go sit down, to go into a corner? I'm talking about Christian folks now. And mind your own business at the church, and don't come out here and start worrying about what's going on in society.
I would say so. I would definitely say so. And even in saying that, I have to say that I don't have thin skin. I had to understand that thin skin can get you in trouble. You have to develop a toughness. And I think even as Christians, we have to understand that there is a boldness that comes with being a Christian. If we're going to be Christ-like, in the Word of God, we can see where Jesus was not thin-skinned. He dealt with a lot of things. And if we want to put it in layman's terms right now, he didn't take any punches. You know, my daddy would say, don't take no wooden nickels. And he did not do that. Mm-hmm. And so we have to understand that we have to come with a boldness. And if the world can cower us down, if the world can make us feel like we don't belong, and if we're really honest, we don't. We're peculiar people. We're set apart. We are to be different. But in that, we have to remain bold, because we know that in the end, I don't care what the war is, I don't care what the battle is, we already have the victory. So I think in a lot of instances, we take that meekness for weakness. You know, the Bible tells us to be meek, but it doesn't tell us to be weak. And so I think a lot of times we get cowered down because it hurts. It hurts to be in certain positions because you are a target. It hurts to have to stand up for right when people are shooting at you and you're their aim. It hurts when people talk negatively about you when you're doing what's right. So you can't have thin skin. And I do believe that is a tactic to keep people, so to speak, in their place. But we have to know where our place is.
Yes.
And so in knowing where our place is and what we're supposed to be doing and what our mission and what our ministry is, it keeps us focused. And we're not here for the world. We're not here to be of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it. And so we have to be able to determine the difference in that. We're not going to get all our accolades from people or from society.
That's right.
So it's not important that they like us and that they like what we're saying, as long as we know we're speaking the truth and we're doing what thus saith the Lord. So, yes, I do believe that is a tactic of the devil that many of us fall for, unfortunately.
Amen. So I guess we can just pass the plate now, because you can already preach the good word right there. So, Lord Jesus, we got so much time. I might as well go ahead on and talk about some more stuff. Listen, let's do it. I have a mentor. I'm talking about a lifetime mentor. 20 years ago, man of God, Reverend Timothy Thompson, a minister at Greater Grace Temple in Detroit, Michigan, who runs Emmanuel House, because I had to go and get some help. Right. And I stayed there for 2.5 years. He said that the key to language is interpretation. And what the devil has done, we're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. It is a progressive step that the devil has taken. So what he does is he transfers language to mean something else. We'll call adultery an affair. We'll say we slept with somebody when sleeping was the least thing that happened in that adultery, fornication bed. We'll call certain things something else to try to soften it and make it not so holy. But it is. It's not a change. So when we're talking about meekness, meekness is power under control. That don't mean... Just because
weakness
sounds like weak, stop trying to put weak in meek, because meekness is somebody that has the strength to beat you down to the ground, but I would rather be your friend and let you win the argument. I'll even let you get the last word. if that means that I still have the opportunity another day to at least see you on more friendlier terms. See, we get so caught up in trying to be right, we can win the battle and lose the war. We want to win the war strategically. It takes humility. Mm-hmm. Now, woman of God, listen, ooh, Lord Jesus, I brought you here because you just caught so much of my attention on Facebook. You were talking about the political going on in El Dorado, Arkansas. We're talking about spiritual wickedness in high places. By you being a spiritually minded woman, you can see dissension. You can see collaboration. You can see underlying dislike, even hatred, disguised as political preference. So by you having this unique position, and I want to thank God for godly parents that raised you, because godly parents know how to bring up a child in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not forget, they will not stray away. They didn't know that you were going to be the first African-American woman mayor in El Dorado, but they knew that if they raised you according to the will and purposes of God, that you would find your destiny. Amen. It goes right
That's it.
I want you to pick up where you kind of left off on the going on behind the screen, behind the facade, behind the masquerade of politics, and talk about the spiritual contingencies that are going on in El Dorado that you can clearly see and talk about, and help my listeners understand the appearance of what is politically being presented, but underneath it there is a spiritual alternative taking place. Talk about
those things for us. So let me just, even with what was mentioned on Facebook, let me just back up just a little bit and just really paint a picture of what we are up against as Christians. When I was elected as mayor back in 2018, it was a part of God's plan. I own that. I appreciate that. I recognize that. Because God puts people in places where he knows that they'll be able to stand. Being mayor in El Dorado for 4 years was a faith walk. I used to tell people running was a faith walk, but being there was a faith walk, because when you talk about spiritual wickedness in high places, I saw people who claimed to be my friend. I saw people who claimed to be giving me good counsel. I saw people who were initially saying that they wanted to make El Dorado a better place. And as I go through those 4 years, I see how and why God put me in that position, because you know, the scripture said, for those who have an ear, let us hear. And then it also mentions about there'll come a time when even those of us who have an ear will turn away from what is righteous, from what is real, from all of that. And so we have to understand that even speaking, and I love to talk, I thank God that's one of my gifts, even in speaking and telling people the truth, people don't always want to hear the truth. They want to hear what's entertaining. They want to hear what sounds good to their ear. And so the Bible tells us all of that. And I thank God, again, I have to go back to my parents and to godly counsel from the pastors that I've sat under, because none of that, even in the disappointment in some of it, none of it caught me by surprise. And more importantly, none of it caught God by surprise. He knew that I was going to have to walk through that. So there were some things that were done during my administration that had never been done before. The council took over public works that had never been done before, to the fact that it was advised against by the legal council of Arkansas for them not to do that. But again, can I mention that I'm the first woman and the first person of color to be in the mayor's seat? And so you look at when light comes into a room, it dispels darkness. And I'm not Mary Sunshine by accident. God has given me the gift to come in and to shine a light on things. And so in doing that, it was upsetting to those people who have been in these places, in these high places politically, who have used their political seats for personal gain. And I will say again, it was sad for me to see that politically it's hard to help people, but we're elected by people to serve people. It's an oxymoron almost to speak. And so when we when we fast forward to the issue that you heard me talking about on Facebook, back in 2020, the year of perfect vision, where God revealed so many things about those who sat on the council and their character, the council decided to take over administrative duties of the public works director. Now, they decided to do that. It was a power move for them, and I speak very frankly and very transparently about everything that happened because I believe that's why God put me there. They made those changes for them to take power from me. I was never there for the power. I was never there for me. I was there to serve. And I knew, and I understand that God has all the power, or I wouldn't have been there in the first place. And so they were warned.
Come on.
I warned them that if you want to take the power, you have to also accept the responsibility. That was at the end of 2020. Mm-hmm. I went through 2021, 2022, with them being over public works and not taking the responsibility. So when I went out of office, the last audit findings or the last audit was for 2020. For those of you who understand how politics work in the municipalities, your audit is like 2 years in the rears. So 2020 didn't come up until 2022. And so my first 2 years, I was actually, the first year or so, I was actually going through the audit for the previous mayor. So 2020, when I went through that audit, there were some findings that fell to me because I was the mayor. But I also knew in 2022, the audit findings that fell to me for 2020, I knew the changes that had been made. And so that set the tone for what was going to happen. I, again, encouraged them, as far as the council is concerned, to take care of the issues that they had caused. But they didn't want to do that. For one, because they felt like not doing it was going to be a detriment to me and not to them.
Yeah.
So now we're in 2023, and the 2021 audit comes to play. And so many, if not all of the audit findings that come to the city of El Dorado fall to public works. Now, had they left everything the way that it was supposed to be, those things would have fallen to me as the mayor. But because they were so power hungry, they now have to solve the issues that came in 2021 under the Public Works Department. But again, and we have to understand, like you said, sometimes words and the way that we frame things, because I was the mayor, it fell to me in the audit findings. And some people didn't understand that. But let me tell you how good God is. They tried to put a slant
on
it. Even when they reported it in the news, when they talked about it in the council meeting, they continued to say Mayor Veronica Smith Creer. That's why I said, if you call my name, spell it right and put the right things behind it. But because they didn't, thought, and they still think, that they're taking a dig at me. But let me tell you something. Because they kept saying my name, even in a negative connotation, let me just assure you that people have prayed for me. They probably have forgotten about me because they heard my name being called in a situation where they felt like I needed help. And so the Bible tells us that all things work together for good for those who who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So even though what they meant for bad, God turned it around and it still works in my good. But we have to understand as Christians, we have to be able to call a thing a thing. And I tell people all the time, God gave me this big mouth. It's part of my gift. And he gave me a way of being able to explain things so that people can understand it.
Yeah.
People may not always want to hear it, but I can put it in a way that you can understand
all
it. All of those things that they tried to do, and I love the word tried because that means you didn't accomplish it. You set out to do something, but you couldn't accomplish it. So the things that they tried to do, they were not able to accomplish it. But I keep continuing to caution people, watch what they do. Listen to what they say, because the Bible wouldn't have warned us against spiritual wickedness in high places if it didn't exist. And that's why we have to be mindful. We have to be mindful of people getting into positions and what their ulterior motives are. And we can't keep putting people in these positions, electing people in positions because we know their name. You need to know their background. Ooh, I said for many years, even before I was elected, don't just look at the party. Look at the person. Look at the problem. Look at the platform. And look at what the principles are behind them. Because people get into positions, and you've seen it just like I have.
Jesus.
People can get elevated to positions where, you know, God gives us the full armor of God to fight against the fiery darts. And I heard a preacher years ago say that sometimes those fiery darts can be success. Sometimes we get full of ourselves. Mm-hmm. We can get in a position where we forget that God put us in this position to be of service.
Ooh,
and we get there and we want it to be self-serving. And we see that in the political world so many times that people can get a little taste of power. And that little taste of power can just change their entire focus. So you got to have your heart right. You got to know that when God gives you a ministry, when he gives you a mission, it's not for you. Although you will reap the benefits if you do what God tells you to do, it's for you to serve. And if those of us who are put in these positions to serve take that for granted and we're not serving people and we're being self-serving, that's another spiritual wickedness. And it can be in high places. But what we have to understand is that we serve a God that is in the highest position.
Mm.
He sees all. He knows all.
Amen.
He's able to correct all. And although we sometimes want to fight the way we want to fight, I'm glad that you brought up about meekness.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he gives us a sword that can't be seen by the physical eye, but he can allow us to do some damage in the background. We don't have to tell it all. We don't have to even show it out. Just do what God tells you to do, because everybody won't understand. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful that he gave me an eye to see. Everybody couldn't see it, and I had to understand that. Everybody wouldn't understand it. I had to understand that. But God sent me there to do a mission. He sent me there for a purpose.
Amen.
And I kept saying, I know he's not allowing me to see this for nothing. And so we have to continue to share. We have to continue when God tells us speak, to speak and say what he tells us to speak. And I have to remind myself from time to time, and you've heard me before, sometimes I have to roll Veronica back because Veronica wants to say some stuff. But I have to speak what God would have me speak. And so I remind people, the Bible says, touch not my anointed. Do my prophet no harm.
Don't do it.
Understand who I am.
Amen.
I am anointed to do God's work. And so I say again and again, even when I got into the position, I warned them. So now it's coming back. It's coming back. And it doesn't, we need to understand that spiritual wickedness in high places, there is still a victory over them. They may be in high places, but what was the old saying? The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Understand that to be true.
That's right.
Understand that it's the truth.
Listen,
I talk.
Well, now here's the thing I need to share with my listening audience. I shared with you all in the beginning. I said in 9 years, going on 10 years of broadcasting as a radio host on the internet, this is the first time that I had questions that came to me that I know I needed to share on the air live. And when Holy Spirit God started giving them to me, I said, I need to write these down and make sure that I share these and I have some questions to share. And and then at the same moment, it hit me. I said, because I know this young lady can verbalize with the best of them. I don't have to worry about her getting questions ahead of time because I know that she'll be able to articulate this bad boy down to the bone. So, woman of God, I appreciate all that you said. And what you said is so true. I just wanted my listening audience to understand that you have such a gift, like you said, to be verbal, to be forthright, to be honest and transparent, but also steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord as you do what you do. And it's not just limited to being the former mayor, because I told my listeners in the beginning, I said, if you were anywhere near as busy as mayor as you are now in your social activism ministry, you was a man that was doing the thing. Now, take a deep breath, and we're going to come back because we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this spiritual wickedness in high places, because we mentioned race. But I'm glad that you spread the conversation a little bit wider, because within races, it's not an issue of race. It's an issue of egotism and spiritual wickedness in high places. Sometimes we can get so full of ourselves that we can forget where we came from. And when we used to be one of us, all of a sudden get a promotion. Guess what? Now you become one of them. You done become one of them. Lord, help us to hold on. Here's man of God, Ron Summers, on Fire the Gospel Defense, because God can, and I believe God will, as he pleases.
Yes, sir. That's it.
He can do anything, my God can. He can do anything but fail. But fail, he can't fail.
He can do anything. You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, indeed. Fire, the gospel experience. We are your evangelistic outreach ministry radio broadcast where we glorify God first and foremost. If we don't do nothing else, you best believe God going to get the praise. God going to get the glory because he has come into our lives in such a way that he has the preeminence over our lives, all areas of our lives. We ain't holding nothing back. And then we want to encourage you, you, and you too, to hear our testimony, hear our words of encouragement, wisdom, hear this anointed gospel music, and then you decide what you would do with this Jesus. My special guest, woman of God, Veronica Smith Creer, is here with us, and she is sharing with us her experience as the first African descent woman of the city of El Dorado, former First Lady, mayorally speaking, and I heard her on Facebook. I saw the video because she had this Monday, help me out, Monday mayor chat.
I used to do the mayor's Monday morning movement moment. The mayor's Monday morning movement moment, yeah.
Say that fast three times and test yourself.
Okay, 5 M's. 5 is my number.
Amen. I got you. So I love how you stay connected to the political scene. And, of course, you do have skin in the game because your name is still attached. Your administration is still attached to some of the ongoings. There is some sort of rebound from where you were as the mayor of El Dorado and have some things to do with what may be going on now. And some things are not being fully explained, so I understand your motivation to want to clarify and rectify situations. But from a spiritual standpoint, we were already talking about some of the strategic advantages or devices that our invisible enemy, the devil and his demoniacs, are employing to create chaos in the world. And that is the whole point behind spiritual wickedness in high places. People don't understand that there are enemies that are not seen, because if you do not have the protection of God over your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are wide open for spiritual attack, for demonic oppression, as well as demonic obsession. Now, that doesn't mean like that little girl that was possessed and was spewing green stuff and neck turned all around and climbing all over the walls and stuff like that. You can have a spiritual demonic influence and still carry on relatively normal behavior, but you have these prejudices. You have these negative perspectives about life. You are hostile to a point where these demonics, they want you to operate in society. They don't want you to be so obvious as if the man with the legion of demons that was cutting himself and howling out in the graveyard. No, there are some people out there, woman of God, that do have mental illnesses that have a spiritual origin that affects us physically. Schizophrenia, manic depression, and all those other behaviors, I believe, are results of the fall of man, how we separate ourselves from God. Father Adam fell from grace because of disobedience. So everything that is negative now can always be attributed back to the failure in the garden, the first sin of disobedience. This is the fruit of it all. And now it has gotten so chaotic, so outrageous, that it is just an uproar of wickedness. Can you tell us now, we were talking a little bit about, I guess you could say, races. But before the music break, woman of God, there are some spiritual wickedness within individual races because of egotism. Now, can you share with us, woman of God, Lady Veronica, how you think that this spiritual wickedness in high places progressed? Does it start at the polling office, at the voting offices, and then does it just escalate from there? It kind of seeps its way into political parties and then kind of grows from there, and then these city council meetings. And then even businesses have these CEOs that aren't right. they are using their power and their influence to for their own evil ends, greed, money-wise, as well as oppression and suppression of the people under them. I know that's a lot, but can you just break it down and share where your perspective takes you?
And that is a lot, and I think it's all absolutely accurate. It starts way before you get to the polls. One of the things I've found out, especially being the mayor, I won't say even so much as running for mayor, is that people are conditioned, and you'll see different conditioning in different places. So I'm going to speak to El Dorado. There is a conditioning of people in certain areas feeling like they're getting what they deserve. Now, everybody pays their taxes. So everybody has a right to what the city offers people as a whole. But there has been conditioning to sectioning people off. There's been a conditioning to people who are affluent monetarily continuing to spread that money around while those that are in lack continue to be that way because there is a conditioning that you are where you're supposed to be. You've always been here. Nothing changes, and that's where we get the mindset of my vote doesn't count. People are going to do what they want to do anyway. It's because you've been conditioned to seeing nothing different. And so I believe it starts with understanding even the political makeup. And it's sad that politician has become an ugly word. I never wanted to be identified as a politician. I wanted to be identified as a public servant because we have to understand that they're not one and the same. Politicians,
that's right.
Most often are serving themselves one way or another. Either it's companies that they're keeping in business through the city, through city business. The higher we get, it can be county, it can even be state. You see that playing out in so many political arenas that you're networking with those that have the say-so. Because when we look at politics, especially local politics, 9 times out of 10, the makeup or the governmental form is mayor and city council. Well, the mayor has really no voting power. The mayor only votes in the instance of a tie. The council members are the ones that put the policies in place. They're the ones that vote on the ordinances and the resolutions that actually put the laws of the city in place. So when you look at them being able to do those things, I want to draw your attention back to public works. For the city council to put themselves over public works in El Dorado, you look at that's where the bids come in for the different projects that happen in the city. So if you are affiliated with, and some of them are, affiliated with a company that does services that are hired by the city, you are in on the bid process. You're no stranger to it. You understand how that works. Also, you look at the different laws that are put in place, and if you as running a company or being a part of a company that does business with the city, if you have a connection with one of the council members, then what does that look like?
Uh-oh.
You get your things done easier, more efficiently, and you might get things done without having to take care of certain paperwork that other people may have to go through because you know someone on the council. El Dorado is a small city. So when you look at larger cities, you see that on an even larger scale where if you are a council member, you're not in there to serve the people. You're in there for the power. So those are the things that that start to play out even before you get to the polls. And then you also look at where people are put up to run because they'll serve a purpose for people in high places. When you look at companies that will back different individuals to run for different positions because that gives them an inroad. And so one of the things that I do know that if someone lines your pocket for you to run, is a part of your campaign, you owe them. You owe them because if they've donated to your campaign, if they've financed your campaign, don't think that if you win that seat that you're not indebted to them. And so those are the things that people don't always see on the front end or even on the back end. They don't see those things already into play. And when you go and vote or if you don't go and vote, and I'm going to say that because that's where we fall short, and I'm going to say we as the African-American community because the statistics prove it, and I've seen it in my own city. We sit back and we say that it doesn't make a difference. It won't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
That is dependent upon.
They depend on us not to vote. And then, I know you've seen it just like I have, the politicians will go to the churches. They'll want to speak to the congregations. Yep. You won't see them until they're running again, but you'll remember that name.
You're right.
And so if you do by chance go to the polls, that's the name that you remember. So it's all strategically put in place, especially for those of us who don't understand how important it is to put people in office that will serve the people. See, we've gotten it all to the point where we feel like none of them are serving us. So when someone like me comes along, it's foreign, it looks different, and you really don't know how to handle it. And so you can't always blame people for not knowing. But when you know the truth, you need to understand the truth. And that was one of the things that, I have to admit that it was hard to go through when you continue to keep telling people. And then now I can see how God orchestrates things. He put me in there for those 4 years. But it was for a time that when this time that we're in right now comes around, you can bring things to people's remembrance. That didn't just happen. Mm. I told you about that 4 years ago. That didn't just happen. Mm. We talked about that 2 years ago. See how it was lined up. See how it was orchestrated. See how they tried to put things in place. And I continue to say tried because what they thought they were going to be able to do did not come to fruition. So those are the things that we have to look at. And so I've heard people say, oh, I'm not into politics. I don't do politics. I tell people, you may say you don't do politics, but if you don't, politics will do you, and it'll do you dirty. You better how things actually work, because it is a, it's almost a money racket. It is almost one of the, it is, and I have to say, one of the biggest schemes that have been put in place is government, because when people don't understand it, they will not know how the game is played. And so we are the people, those of us who don't understand it, and I can't say we anymore because I do understand. We have this vision of you elect people and they'll do the right thing. That is not true.
Right.
You need to know who you're electing to be in these positions, if they're over money, if they're over contracts, if they're over things being done for your city. And this is one of the things that people do definitely need to understand. The people are the power. Your voice matters. When you vote people in, they work for you. People are elected to serve. And if you are not getting the service, if you go to Walmart and you don't get good customer service, you're going to go to the manager, you're going to go to the front desk, you're going to tell somebody that you're not being served correctly. The same thing happens or should happen in government. If you are not being served correctly, you make sure that you call their attention to it. And if it means you're going to stop shopping there, you stop shopping there. If it means you need to elect someone else, you elect someone else. But we have to understand that politicians are groomed, and we better start grooming some ourselves.
Amen. I like how you spoke about how you had already paved the way to be able to remind people about the power of I told you so. I told y'all this was going to happen. I told y'all, I warned y'all, I put it in place even before it happened. You were able to discern and see. You knew that certain things were going to have a certain because of the things that you were currently looking at. Here, too, when you talked about how certain entities, be they be people with financial economics to be able to bless somebody financially for their campaign, these people are expecting a return on their, they're not just putting money into somebody's campaign and just so that they can get the position. They want some kickback. They want some favor to come back their way. What is the population of the city of Fargo ultimately?
By the last census, over 17,000.
Okay, 17,000. Okay. Now, Pine Bluff, I was looking at our marker just recently. I think we just went over 52 or 50,000 people here, and it had dropped down before 48 because we had one particular national voting where certain things didn't apply or we couldn't vote on because we were less than 50,000. It's real deep. And you said that we need to be aware of the political governmental process. That's not an easy thing to do because just like a lot of legal talk, it's not intended for innocent people like ourselves, bystanders, to get to understand. It's in a language, it's in a format that is for people that went to school, but we do need to be knowledgeable as best we can. The city council needs to open to the public, if I'm not mistaken, everywhere. Isn't that correct?
They are. They are. Yes, sir. And on some, you don't even have to be on the agenda to speak.
And then some of them, like Pine Bluff, you can go online and listen. But the intention behind spiritual wickedness in high places is to make us feel invalid unless they choose to. Now, when someone that's running for a political office comes to my church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, New St. Hurricane, shout out to my pastor, Pastor Derek Easter, he will acknowledge your presence, but he won't give you a microphone. He won't let you put them little flyers.
Okay.
He won't let you put them little flyers on the vehicles or none of that, because this is not a political pit stop. If you want to come and worship with us, you're welcome. We will recognize you. We will honor your position. But don't come in here once every 4 years holding up the gospel of our Lord Jesus because you're trying to get a vote. Okay, so anyway,
for everybody
that's concerned, well, I don't live in El Dorado, so what does that have to do with me? That's because the enemy's schemes and tactics are the same everywhere. The wisdom that my special guest, woman of God, Veronica Creer, is sharing with you is valid if you're in Ferguson, Missouri. I call that for a reason. If you are in Detroit, Michigan, if you are in Texarkana, Texas, Houston, Dallas, Las Vegas, and all those smaller cities in between, spiritual wickedness is like gang activity. They are looking for fertile ground to set up camp so that they can take over. Amen. So, woman of God, I have to share that, because I know there are people out there that are wondering, well, I don't live in El Dorado. Well, wherever you live in, you best believe there is some form of city government. I don't care what the population is. It could be a one stoplight town with a post office and the jail and the city market is all in one building. It don't matter. The devil is looking to exploit as much fertile ground as he can and claim it in opposition to our God. And that's the spiritual point that we want to make overall. We don't want that to get missed in our discussion about politics, city government, voting, that there is a spiritual obligation. And when we settle for the idea of being less than, you'll be one of the people that will not participate in activity of city government where you live, where you could make a difference. Because when you don't vote, that is a vote. That's a vote for the other person that probably is under spiritual wickedness. When you don't vote, that's a vote for someone that is probably already being guided by spiritual wickedness in high places. Right. Woman of God, listen, I shared with you, I said we're not going to try to force this conversation into one program. If you would like to come back and continue, if there's some points that you weren't able to share with us now, I would more than happy to be hosting you for another platform, for another program to come back, and we can continue this conversation as well as keep us updated with the ongoing updates and whatever else is going on that you need to share with us. I'll be more than happy, because this knowledge is good for everybody everywhere. But what I'd like for you to do, woman of God, if you don't mind, if you would like to share how you could be reached for inspirational sharing at whatever event may be going on in the Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma area, wherever somebody's willing to send you a plane ticket, share how you could be reached for any speaking engagements. Let them know that you do have a book or books that you've written, how they can receive your books, as well as if there's any upcoming activities in the El Dorado, Arkansas area. Please feel free to make that known to my listeners that are local, that are listening to this broadcast, that may be able to attend.
First of all, let me thank you so much for allowing me to come on. I appreciate you so much for that, and I appreciate the invitation to come back. If anyone wants to contact me for motivational speaking, even if they have questions or concerns about anything that I've shared, my phone number is 870-315-1459. My email address, I have a couple, but the one I watch the most is roni332003@yahoo.com. I also have one, Mayor Sunshine Writes, and that's WRITES@gmail.com. I have a Facebook Veronica Smith Creer. That is Smith-Creer. And I also have the Mayor Sunshine Facebook pages. I have the Mayor Sunshine Instagram, which is Mayor Sunshine. And I also have Smith Creer, which is my personal Instagram page. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Snapchat. And you can find my book, My Mimi is the Mayor. It is a children's book about my granddaughter, Skylar, who was born as I was running for mayor. It is on Amazon.com. I'm working on my next book, which will be a motivational book. I'm working on it, and hopefully by next year I have it and my memoirs of being the mayor. You know, they say the disclaimer is the names are changed to protect the innocent. We're going to keep everything relevant because, yes, all the names will be the same.
Right.
But, again, I want to thank you. I am in El Dorado, Arkansas, but I am free to travel. I'm gracious to people wanting me to come, and I'm humbled by that. But I also want to say that I'm thankful to now be working with the Arkansas Black Mayors Association. I am the assistant to the executive director. God has kept me in the loop, and his promises are true. So I'm grateful for that. He took me from a local position to a state position, and who knows what's coming next. So I'm grateful for that.
Amen.
But I'm a willing vessel. I'm a willing worker. I'm a willing servant of the Lord. And so if there's anything I can do to help you, that is my ministry.
Amen. Now, I'm going to do you a big favor right here, and I won't even charge or anything for it. I'm just going to just be a blessing. I want to give a shout out to the man of God, your husband, man of God.
Thank you.
Creer.
I just thought
thank you for being that rock. Thank you for being that support to this amazing woman of God that I know you holding it together. Wait a minute. Hold on. I got to get this one in. Y'all are so photogenic. Come on now. I mean, this. Y'all know how to take some pictures from every angle, up and down, day or night, in town, out of town. Y'all just doing it up big. Now, I had to get that
I
in there because you know exactly
you.
What I was talking
I
about.
You
never took
he
a
is
picture
my rod
that you didn't like. Tell the truth.
That we didn't like. Now, I have to encourage him, let me say it that way, to take pictures. But he is a part, he is a huge part of my ministry because our ministries go together. And I'm grateful that you said he is my rock. And I used to tell him all the time, you know, being the mayor was a hard job, but he was my rock. He was my support. But he was also my soft place to land because when you go through fighting with the world all day long, when you come home, you want a soft place to land. And that he was
That's
always
right.
that. And he continues to be that. And
Amen.
I pray that I'm the same for him because it is hard.
Amen.
It is hard. So, yeah.
No,
but we make it
no
look
doubt.
Easy because God is good.
Now, give me the man of God, your husband's full name.
His name is Bobby Donnell Creer Sr.
Okay. Bobby Donnell Creer Sr. Bless you, man of God. You keep doing what you're doing. You have my blessings over your family, over your marriage, over your ministry.
I am here
for you. And woman of God, Veronica Smith Creer, I just want y'all both to know that because I love seeing married people do and follow the will of God because marriage is a success. I keep saying this all the time. They talk about, well, it ain't nothing but a piece of paper and marriage don't work. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say this in retaliation to that lie that the devil just told. You got people that aren't qualified for marriage getting married. Uh-oh, I said it and I meant it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to take it back. Ain't nothing wrong with marriage.
And don't.
You got the wrong people getting married. You picked the wrong one to marry. Stop blaming it on the marriage. If you want that car to run, you got to do more than just put gas in it. You got to change the oil.
It's maintenance.
You got to change the oil filter. You got to get a tune up. All right. So now, I said that, woman of God, I appreciate you in Jesus. Y'all keep doing what y'all doing.
I appreciate
anything
you.
I can do for
Thank
y'all.
You.
You know where I'm at. I'm right down the road. When you're passing through Pine Bluff, lunch is on me. Just let me know when you're ready, and I'll be ready for you.
I appreciate you. God bless you.
Woman of God, Veronica Smith Creer, she's here, y'all, and she's doing her thing for Jesus, and I'm so glad about it. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, indeed. You tuned in to Fire, 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 the Gospel Experience. Man, listen, there's so much to that conversation that I really wanted to continue, but time is winding up, and we need to move on to the rest of this Fire Gospel Experience, because I have some things that I want to discuss about spiritual wickedness in high places myself. God gave me some inspirational words to share with you all. He gives me words to live, to apply to my life first. And all I'm doing is sharing the overflow of how God is leading me, guiding me, instructing me. And then I have an obligation. I have a responsibility. I have such a love for my Lord Jesus Christ for all the tremendous things that he's already done in my life. Like the elders say, if he don't do another thing, he's already done enough. You tune in to Fire, the Gospel Experience. Here is woman of God, Joy Bryant. She's going to take us behind the veil, y'all, and she is going to let us just have a moment of sincere praise where we just forget about everything else that's going on and focus our mind, our heart, and our soul, and our whole being on the beautiful Creator who is our God. We just want you, dear God, to fall fresh on us as we give you praise.
Let it roll, roll.
Fire, fire, the gospel experience. Yes, indeed. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, woman of God, Joy Bryan, for letting the door swing open so that Holy Spirit God can fall fresh on us.
Hello, I am Jackie L. Bostic, preacher, inspirational speaker, author, mentor, certified life coach, entrepreneur, wife, mother, and servant of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grateful to God Almighty, who called me to celebrate who he is in the highest. If you're in search of someone who will speak life and gospel truth to your event, congregation, or fellowship group, I may just be the person that you're looking for. I would encourage everyone to get a copy of my book, My Words Have Power, where I share my intimate lessons and things of which I've experienced, because life and death is in the power of our tongue. My book, My Words Have Power, can be purchased at Amazon.com, or you can look for me at Jackie L. Bostic on Facebook.com. The purchase price of my book is $18. You can contact me by phone at 678-787-9339 or send me an email at BosticGS, that's BosticGS at gmail.com. And you are listening to Fire, the gospel experience, where the fire is a moving and uplifting, unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I'm inviting you to let the light of Jesus the Christ shine bright in your life. So by all means, keep it tuned in and to Fire, the gospel experience, which will uplift your spirit and give you new strength.
Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. Oh, oh, oh. She was made whole at that moment. With just a touch of the garment, y'all. I heard him say, your faith has made you whole. Just like Daniel in the lion's den, God made the lions be his friend. Stayed in there with him all night. My God made, sure made everything alright. You ought to testify and tell somebody, y'all, yeah. I don't look like what I've been through. My God is so able, able to make a way. Did it for them way back then. Anybody know God can do it? Oh, again. You gotta trust his word. Stand on the promises of God. Yes and amen. Listen.
My God, my God, man of God, Marquise Williams. Let us know that, yes, he did it. Looking forward to that young man coming back to this Fire Gospel Experience so we can interview him. We haven't heard from him in a while, so we always like to have these return special guests, gospel artists, motivational speakers, preachers, teachers, to come back and let us know about the good things that God is continuing to do in your life. Just like Woman of God, Angel Sessions. I haven't had this Woman of God on this Fire Gospel Experience in so long, now I can't wait. I can't wait, Angel, to have you come back. She has new music because, listen, when you are doing the work of the Lord, you need to understand and get it straight in your spirit that you are called and that you are chosen.
You know, in Matthew 22:14, God's word says, for many are called, but few are chosen. And I believe his word.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Agent Sessions right here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Let you know you called and you chosen. Amen. Because we are fighting spiritual wickedness in high places, and that's what we're talking about right here today on this Fire Gospel Experience. Oh, from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, our key verse, we're going to use the verse right here, for your spiritual consumption as well as your sanctification. The Word of God tells us this, and I believe it's from the King James Version of the Bible, that for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, indeed. As true born-again Christian believers in our Lord Jesus the Christ, we shall indeed struggle. The Word of God tells us that if you live righteous, you shall suffer persecution. Now, there is and still will be struggle all around us, as well as so much, and at times, struggles also within us. As you all have heard me say many, many times in several previous broadcasts, because it is so, so true. Our spiritual warfare takes place on and in many fronts. Our very first major conflict comes from within. Don't believe me? Ask the writer to the Roman Church of Believers. Romans 7:14 says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." Verse 15, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Verse 16 says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consider the law that it is good." Verse 17, "Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin, oh Jesus, that dwells in me." Verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, help us, Lord, I find not." We are created beings made of flesh and blood. Romans 7:21 continues and says, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Help us, Holy Ghost." And our scripture verse here is declaring and warning us about the external warfare also that rages on around us in so many different areas and on so many different. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." And many would say, "What do you mean it isn't against flesh and blood?" But we can clearly identify those people that have shown themselves to be our adversaries against us. Yes, we can see those human enemies against us. The true source and origin of our great antagonism are from the dark spiritual influences of our world. This is why our Lord Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies. Yes, Matthew 5:44 shall say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There are probably a majority of people that are unknowingly being used as puppets by the devil to do his dirty work against the people of God, and actually against God himself. So pray that their souls may be one day set free, and that they will see the true light of God and be saved from the condemnation of the error of their ways and disbeliefs. Ephesians 6:12 goes on and says, "But against principalities." And in the Living Bible it says, "But against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world." There are disembodied spiritual beings that are around us in our earth realm and territory that we cannot see. These beings are the ones that seek and need a physical body to manipulate. This is the demonic possession and puppetry that I spoke of earlier. A person can be severely possessed by demonic influence and not to the degree as of the man with the legion of demons that I mentioned earlier in the broadcast, where the total possession makes them obvious of an unnatural state. Some would call it psychosis, manic depression, schizophrenia, or some other mental illness. And indeed, it may be all of those mentioned and more at varying degrees. But some are also overwhelmed with the consumption of hate, anger, and racism at lower levels of demonic influence and demonic obsession. Ephesians 6 and 12 also talks about against powers. And again, the Living Bible says against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The Living Bible says those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world. These are those who have economic, social, and political influences to create changes in business, education, housing, and other systems to attempt to negate all godly influences and light from God. Lord have mercy. Don't y'all know that there are spiritual wickedness in high places? That's what we're talking about today on this Fire Gospel Experience, because this is not just a feel-good platform. This is a platform of introductory knowledge of the world that you and I are living in and how we as believers of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ need to take our rightful places in our homes, in our neighborhoods, and in our society. Amen goes right there. Here's man of God, J-Dab, my homeboy from Oak Park, right down the road from Detroit, letting you know he's on the front line for our Lord Jesus Christ, singing good gospel rap music. And yes, my God, he's so real. I just have to talk about it. And he just got a rap.
I love
it. I'ma come down, it's just the ace time in me. I ain't swinging no swings, I'm thinking business and Bentley. I done came out the hood, the first exit was Midland. Then my spirit caught up, changed demographics physically. Ace time ride slabs, a lot ride going. Still preaching the word of God, but your spirit ain't torn. Your flesh, we ain't born, we gon' give you this work. Cause we put in this work just to show you your work. 15s on the MC, swangin', bangin'. Was stuck in my way, started changing, changing. One touch from the Lord, and I'm still ain't changing. Bros of Jesus, peace, no longer is he dangling. Middle finger down with the flag, no bangin'. Move with a purpose, no longer just hangin'. Baptized another class to get the frame, just hangin'. Standing on the word, and we oh so changed.
Service Sprite, man, partying all night. Straight up fist fights, if them boys talking reckless. Can't be lame coming out of Houston, Texas. Gotta maintain, gotta grip grain. Gotta switch lanes, man, in the candy dane. Then I realized to live Christ died day. Then he took away all the hurt and the pain. Corrupted my soul, made me whole. Tried me through the fire, I done came my peers go. Saved my soul, I forever give him praise. Need to surrender now because we in the last days. If you're not for him, then you against him. Yep. If he be for us, I'll be against him.
Main from the top, so real. Yeah, I remember.
got that diamond grill. Yeah, four deep in the car, no cheer. Yeah, I'm the man, but my heart was full of steel. Yeah, I was running from a call, it was years. Yeah, so fast that I couldn't even hear. Yeah, if you ask me why I did it, it was fear. Yeah, Christ saved me and he taught me how to live for real. Oh, Lord.
You are so real, my God. That's why we can't help but give you praise. Thank you, man. God, J-Dad, my God, is so real. We are discussing spiritual wickedness in high places from the book of Ephesians. And the 6th chapter, the 15th verse is our key verse, and we are going to just continue on because this is a much-needed conversation in our spiritual warfare. We left off talking about Ephesians 6 and 12, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And the Living Bible says those mighty satanic beings and great evil princesses of darkness who rule this world. Now, these are those who have economic, social, and political influences to create changes in business, education, and other systems to attempt to negate all godly influences and the light from God. These are the forces that are disturbing those with no godly protection, wisdom, and insight to change what was once thought to be perverted and unholy to now being lawful and accepted. The gender confusion, the homosexual lifestyle explosion, and others are all results of the evil dark forces' onslaught to disengage our world and thinking to believe that like it was in the Old Testament in Proverbs 14 and 12 where it says there is a way which seemeth right unto the man. But the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, where every man that's not of God did whatever they chose in their own eyesight and then deemed it to be right by their own satisfaction. But where God allows freedom of choice, God also requires consequences for those very same choices. And then Ephesians 6 and 12, against spiritual witness in high places and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world. Now, the evil darkness of this world always continues to climb the ladder of our businesses, politics, society, and other institutions. Dark evil and demonic forces are guiding people that have no appreciation, knowledge, and love of God, his word, and of course his people, to rebel on every front. Now, these attacks against God, listen, let me tell y'all something. These attacks against God have become so blatant now that they have come more out of those shadows where they once hid to create their dark devices, have now gained such a confidence and foothold on many priority issues that they have grown bold enough to have Main Street parades flaunting their pernicious ways. These are all signs to the beginning of the end of times. When our Lord Jesus declared that when he, God, has had enough, and all those who will be saved have been saved, then he, our Lord Jesus, will return and put a drastic stop to all this demonic nonsense and rule over all those things in heaven and earth that God the Father, our Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit God, has already declared and decreed to be so. So, my good brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to hold down the fort as the salt and the light of the earth, to be a witness unto this world about our Lord Jesus the Christ until he comes. Finally, Ephesians 6 and 13 says, so use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy wherever he attacks. And when it's all over, you will still be standing up. Amen goes right there. Amen and amen and amen again. Talking about spiritual wickedness from Ephesians 6 and 12 here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Oh my God. A much needed conversation that we will continue. Looking forward to my special guest, returning woman of God, talking about none other than Veronica Smith Creer. She is community leader, former mayor of El Dorado, Arkansas. Her story, not his story, her story, H-E-R story, her story maker, book author, podcast host, and many, many other things. Look for her to return and bless us with more information, more wisdom that God has blessed her with. I just am so grateful to each and every one of you all. I just want to leave y'all with one final word. Amen. Listen. Everyone that speaks good of you doesn't necessarily mean good for you. The Bible tells us, be aware, pay attention to when all men speak good of you, because everybody speaking good, they got something else on their mind. They're using good as a front, y'all. So be mindful, be discerning. Keep your hand in the hand of God's hand, which means put on the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ daily as we walk through this life. I want to leave y'all with woman of God, Galinda Blackwell, letting us know that God, yes, my God, you are our everything. We love you, dear God. We bless you. We praise you. And we look forward to seeing you one day when you call us. Until then, we're going to work, we're going to labor, and we're going to cry out loud that Jesus Christ is Lord. So until next time, y'all be blessed in the beautiful name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And keep me in your prayers, because I'm in yours and you're in mine. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it except love me back. And I sure do appreciate it. Y'all be blessed.
Joy like a river flowing into eternity. Hope and love I found.
Coming out.